you're all invited to stay and eat together. Also, we're having prayer prior to the service starting at 5 o'clock. Come anytime between 5 and 6. We'll be meeting back in the kids' zone. And then during services, we're also offering prayer for anyone that would like prayer during the worship time. You don't need to wait for an altar call. We'll have several people over here just to pray with you. If you want to just go over to them and say, I'd like prayer, and they'll be happy to pray with you. Next weekend is the Women's Encounter. I know several will be involved in that. I just pray that God does what he's been doing, breaking through and breaking free our women. And then also we are hosting the Women's Encounter Celebration Service Sunday evening, next Sunday night. So particularly, not only for yourself, but if there's anybody you'd like to have come to an encounter and find out a little bit, get a taste of what it might be like, invite them to come out. It starts at 5:30 next Sunday night, and there'll be worship, and then you'll hear testimonies. So invite anybody you'd like. I've got some friends I'm inviting that, when I invited them to the encounter and told a little bit that I thought was safe to tell, so that's too much for me. I said, hey, you know what? We're going to host the celebration service on Sunday night. Why don't you come and get a taste of it? So he said they might do that, so I'm looking forward to that. So Women's Encounter next weekend, then Men's Encounter will be March 13 through 15. I'm going to be participating, but I will come back for our service on Saturday night. And then the Youth Encounter is April 3 through 5. Any other announcements? All right, let's prepare for our offering. Did you have an offering?
Are you not doing Revive Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Monday night at 7.
Monday night at 7. I missed that. Sorry about that. Monday night right here at 7 o'clock, Revive Discipleship with Tom, and I think Sharon's participating, Elizabeth. All right, let's have the prayer for offering and then give us. The Lord has blessed you this week. Father, we just thank you for your financial gifts. Thank you, Lord, for health, for sources of income. We know that jobs are a blessing, but you are the one who provides. You are our provider. You're our God. You said that we should pray, give us, Lord, our daily bread. And I know you intended that we would labor and that this would be the fruit of our labors. So I pray blessing upon both the gift as well as the giver, that they and their household would receive your abundant blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your giving. I do want to pray specifically not only for our president and for authorities, but concerning the coronavirus. Depending upon who you speak with, there's increasing concern. This is no doubt another plague, particularly on China, but it's spreading to other countries. Over 67,000 known cases presently, and over 1,500 have died as a result of this. So pray for the authorities in China, Hong Kong, and France, where there have been deaths, and pray for authorities around the world as they determine that what to be done. And you know, one of the purposes in these kinds of things when they come is that we would get on our knees and seek God for wisdom, for supernatural solutions to these things. So let's just join with me as I pray and lift up these matters. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these songs that remind us that there is a battle, but the battle belongs to you, and you are the victor. And Lord, we know that we are involved in skirmishes as we serve as your enforcers, through the word of God, through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, our testimonies, and not being afraid. I thank you, Father, that we have authority. And when we pray, things happen. Things change because you hear our prayer and you give us the petitions that we desire of you. And so we intercede right now, Father, for many who have already been affected and infected by this virus, and Lord, by many who are being overcome by fear. Lord, we pray mercy upon these areas as and among those who have come into contact. Lord, that you would be merciful in Jesus' name. But we also pray, Lord, that there would be a humbling, that men and women, young people, and rulers and authorities alike would turn to you and seek you, Lord. Lord, because you want to be our Savior. You want to be our deliverer. You want to be our healer. May we look to you to live. And I pray for wisdom. I pray now for our president. And I ask, Father, that you would grant him wisdom. I pray that he would ask for wisdom. I pray that he would seek you for wisdom. We ask that he may practice righteousness. Your word says righteousness exalts a nation, but wickedness is a reproach to any people. Expose wickedness, but exalt righteousness. And we pray, Father, that your judgments would be known throughout our nation. We pray, Father, also for an awakening of the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, the army of the Lord that Ezekiel identifies as the army of dry bones that you by your spirit bring and put flesh upon it, bring life, bring training and skillful preparation so that we may be a mighty army in the earth, accomplishing the purposes of God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, among our own family here, Lord, I pray for Bob's father, for comfort and for healing and for grace in the midst of this situation where he's broken his arm. We ask in Jesus' name, show up in his life in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to touch the lives of those who have been struggling with various illnesses and medical conditions. Lord, you are our healer, and we look to you as the great physician to touch our lives and bring glory to your name. May our hearts be drawn to you in all things, and we would trust you as the Lord of Lords, as the good shepherd that cares for us. Father, I pray for the women's encounter coming up. Lord, break through in mighty and powerful ways. Show up and show off for your glory, that men and women, and particularly this weekend, women, would find you as the great liberator, the great freedom giver. And may truth set them free, I pray, in Jesus' name. Have your way, and we thank you for hearing us. Amen. Amen. All right. Where did Aaron disappear to?
Oh, he's counting the tithe.
Oh, you know what? That's right. If you would, please. Aaron is going to share with us his salvation testimony. From time to time, I love to hear how God has acted in the past. It gives us encouragement to continue to believe for the future. Is anybody that has a testimony right now, something current, something recent, that you want to stand up and give glory to God for or about? All right. Aaron, come on. Come on down.
Thank you, Dan. My testimony is kind of simple. I am blessed to be a preacher's kid all my life. So I've known God, you know, through my parents, you know, just praying for me, loving on me. And it was really interesting. I have an older sister. And like a month after she was born, she had pneumonia real bad. So she spent like a month in a tent. And then I was born 2.5 years after my sister was born. And my mom was pregnant. She heard Satan say, "You got your daughter, you're not getting your son." And she knew, well, something's gonna happen, something. So she's like, no. So she just started praying that everything would be okay. And then, so when I was born, my chest plate was flipped the other way. So, but I wasn't born in the States. I was born in Germany because my dad was in the service. So they're like, well, it could cut, you know, I have to have major surgery. And my parents are like, no, we don't want to do that. So we're praying, you know, that God would heal him. So Derek Prince had been in town somewhere in Germany at the time. And so they took me down and had me prayed for. And then that night he took me into like this little chapel near their house. And my dad heard the Holy Spirit tell him, say, take your son to the chapel and anoint his lips with communion juice. So he does that. And he said, he put me beside my sister. He lifted me up and he said, it felt like I got 5 pounds heavier. I guess that day to see why I was heavier. So they took me to the local like hospital and they saw that my breastplate was flipped the right way. So God healed me that way. So throughout my life, you know, I've had just problems because I have cerebral palsy, but you know, I know God's gonna heal me someday. I'm just walking it out. And so I understood who the Holy Spirit was. I understood how much God loved me and all that. And then I'll fast forward a little bit. About my freshman year in high school, my sister was a senior, and she didn't really like our youth pastor at the time. So she's like, well, we're going to go to this other church because some of her friends were going, and we're going to see what it's like. And I said, okay. I said, you know, I had friends at this other church. I'm like, well, if that's where you think we should go, then I'll go. And so we started going there, and it was good. And I was like, God, why are these people doing this? And why is these people doing this? And so I kind of was like, what is going on? So we started going Sunday mornings at that church. And so we just had, you know, a good time, and we're like, okay. So my sister graduates, and right before they graduate, they bring all the graduation, like if you're graduating from a high school or a trade school or even a college, they bring you up and they pray for you and they speak things over your life, how they see how you're going to be, or calling things out that they see. And it's really interesting. I'm thinking, okay, so I expect this when I graduate in 3 years. So I'm like, oh man, this is going to be interesting. So, but, and then my sophomore year, we move from our apartment to our house. So my mom would take me every morning to school in the morning. And I found out through a couple of my friends that were a grade higher than I was, that there was a prayer service. The kids could pray, and there was a youth leader that would, from one of the local churches, that happened to, you know, oversee it. So I found out who the friends were, what room it was in. So I would go on that day, and I would pray. And it come out to find out that it was my old youth pastor that was overseeing this. And so he comes to me, and he goes, Aaron. And I said, yes. He goes, what is going on with you? I said, I don't know. He goes, there's something going on with you, and you don't know it yet. And I said, what are you talking about? And I didn't realize what he was saying. He goes, the Holy Spirit's getting a hold of you, and you just don't realize it yet. I said, okay. I said, all right. So I started seeking things out through my youth pastor, and he's like, well, he must see something in you, so we need to seek this out. So, you know, I was just diligently just seeking things out that, you know, I could see. And so I graduate. They pull us up and they pray for us. And it's the year that I graduate, it's all guys, no girls. I'm like, Lord, what in the world? Why is it, there's no, and I was like, well, it just happens to be that way. And so I was thinking, well, what's next? What do I do? Do I go get a job? Do I go to school? What is the plan? So I really was praying with my parents and like, I just got a regular job for a while. And so I worked for about a year and a half at a place, and my parents were starting to come to our church that my sister and I were coming at, and so they happened to go on a special service, and I got really, really sick, and I couldn't go. And this prophetic gentleman came in, and he says, "You have a son." "Yes." And he said, "This is what we seen your son." So they report back to me. I'm like, "Okay, mom, but I just don't see how that applies right now. But okay, I'll pray about it and put it in the back of my mind." And so I seek other things out for my life. I say, well, maybe I should go to Word of Life Bible Institute in the Adirondacks. And so I fill out the application and I get accepted. I'm like, "Dad, I don't know if that's where I need to be." So I'm still working where I'm currently working, and one of my youth leaders is starting to work with me where I'm working, and he goes, "Hey, we're all going to Canada." He goes, "Maybe you need to jump on this trip." And I said, "Okay." So I save my money and I go. And during the conference, there's a school there for like 5 months that you get trained on how to discern, how to hear, how to, you know, just how to love on people, how to do ministry-wise. And I thought, that would be really interesting to do, you know. And so I talked to somebody. I said, "What is the intel?" And they said, "Well, you have to get online, get an application, and fill it out and see how it goes." And I said, "Okay." So I come home. I'm real excited. And I say, "Mom, Dad, I think this is where the Holy Spirit's leading me to do." And so I get like half of it done, and it's 13 pages long, in depth, like who you think you are, your calling, destiny, your life, how you, what giftings and callings you have. I'm like, "Lord, I don't even know like what my giftings and callings are, so I don't know how to even fill this out." So I fill it out, like half of it filled out, and I go back up to Canada, and my youth pastor and I, we go downtown for the feeding homeless downtown, and the director of the school's there, and I say, "I'll see you in fall," because the next semester's already in. I'll see you in fall, not knowing that I'm going to go. So I said, "Okay, God, I'm taking this leap saying this." And so I, and Dan, you'll appreciate this. So my mom and dad are with my sister and like getting her ready to come home from school, so they're picking her up, and she goes to Liberty at the time, and I'm out front with a wheelbarrow and stones, throwing stones into the wheelbarrow, picking them up, getting ready to seed for spring. And so it's like 3 weeks or 4 weeks that I have to be ready to go to school. So I fill the application out, send it up, $1,000 small picture, and they pray over every application that they get. So I come in, I get a shower, and my mom and dad are back, and my sister's went to see one of her high school friends or something, and my mom and dad go to me, "Have you checked the answer machine today?" And I said, "No, why?" They said, "There's something on the answer machine you need to hear." And so I'm like, "Okay." So they play, and they said, "You're accepted. You need to be here this time. You need to be here then." And so I'm like, "Okay." So I get ready. I have all my money set aside to go. And so about a week before I go, I said to my dad, "Dad, you're on staff now. So I said, can I come up front and have people pray for me to get released to do this thing for the next 6 months of my life, you know. So he goes, so yeah, that'd be a good idea. So I had a bunch of the pastors and a bunch of the elders pray for me before I go and just speak things into my life that, you know, they see in me and see that God could grow in me. And so I go up, and you don't know who your roommates are at all. You don't know, like, who's in your small group. You don't know. You get there, you meet your small group leader right away. But I don't know anybody else. And I'm like, and I know the director, and I'm like, and he goes, so I get there, and I walk in the door. He goes, as soon as you said that I would see you in the fall, I knew you had to be accepted. And he goes, I don't know why. So I said, all right. So it's me for 5 months. It's me, a guy from Minnesota, a guy from Northern Ireland, and a guy from England for 5.5 months in my room. Because there's about 64 students from every continent in this graduation class. And it's so, like, unique. Like, every week someone would come in from either from the local church that we were affiliated with or a ministry and just say, hey, this is how we do things. And if it applies to your life, use it. If it doesn't apply to your life, take it for what it is and run with it. And then so we're like, okay. So our first conference is Catch the Fire. And so we go and we're on prayer teams and things happen and things are good and things are going well. And we're like, okay. So this is like 2 weeks in. And so our third weekend, there's a gentleman that speaks when John Arnott's not speaking. His name's Bill Prankard. And he goes, and we're on the team praying this week, and we go upstairs, and atmosphere is different in the prayer room. We're like, what? Why? What is going on? We just don't understand. So we go down, and Bill goes, can we have just some of the students from the school come and say what's going on with them and what's happening with them, you know? And so I get up, and I just say, this is what's going on with me. My roommate gets up, touches Bill's hand, and he falls under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, we are in trouble. Because the pastor is laying out under the power of his, I'm like, oh, what a, so, and so he gets up and he goes, everyone, right now, he stops the service and he goes, you need to lay down and the school's taking over. And so we prayed for everybody, guys with guys, girls with girls, for like, I don't think we left like 3:34 in the morning. So as we would go to school, after our morning session, as we were going to the school, we would have a morning session, then we would have a little bit of break, and a bunch of us either would go to a local coffee shop and just kind of grab something to eat or grab something to just to talk and relate to what's going on in their lives. So people come up and say, hey, you're from the school, or you're from this, and you're from that. Like, yeah. What? They're like, can you pray for us? And you would see people fall over, and you're like, and we knew it wasn't us. It was the Holy Spirit in us that doing this. And we're like, this is crazy. But we thought, okay, this is encouraging. So every day every week we would do this. And so businesses would recognize who we were, and they're like, no, you got to do this in the back because we can't have this up front. So can you go in the back? I'm like, sure. And so John and Carol Carol comes in and says, can you guys do me a favor? And we said, yes, what do you need? She goes, can you, during this week of prayer, can you take time and fast and pray one of your meals? Because usually breakfast is kind of on your own, but lunch and supper provided by the school. So we said, sure. And then She goes, if you're not on their prayer team on Saturday night, please come be in their prayer team. So we're thinking, okay. So I wasn't on the prayer team that night. So we, and the prayer team is, the prayer room is upstairs in a loft, and it's probably as big as this room. And there's no one in the prayer room except this little lady, kind of where Allison's sitting, against the wall. And we're thinking, why is the atmosphere different in the prayer room tonight? And she goes, ha ha. She's laughing the whole time. And we're like, why are you laughing, Carol? She goes, that's Benny Hinn's wife. I'm like, okay, now we understand why the atmosphere is different. So she goes to us, she goes, hey, can you guys pray for me? And I'm like, you're Benny Hinn's wife. How in the heck do we pray for you? You know, you, I'm like, sure, we pray for her and we do things and say things, and then she prays for us. And we're like, okay, so we're encouraged. And then right after that, Father Loves You conference comes into town, and we just get filled up more. And then my parents come up for, this is going to be hard to get through, for Thanksgiving. And so my dad goes, hey, I'm going to catch for you tonight. I said, okay. But your rule is, you have to pray for your catcher after you're done. So I'm thinking, I have to pray for my dad. This is not going to be easy. So I pray for him, and I'm having a hard, really hard time. I'm like, and all the small group leaders are like, he doesn't have time praying for anybody. Why is he having a hard time? And they're like, it's his dad. They said, oh, okay, now we understand. So my dad drops me off, and my father, I know he loves me, but he never ever said it to me till I was 20 that I heard it. And so I said, well, my earthly father loves me. How much more is my heavenly father going to love me? And everything switched that day for me. And so I was like, and I was hearing this guy's voice a little bit. So I heard it even more, you know, then. And so we go on some trips with our missions trip, with our team, like on a small 3-day, and that goes well. And then we, right before we go to our big month trip, they anoint us with oil, and not just on your head. They take a full cup, like a measuring cup of, and they pour it over your head, and they pray for you, and they just say things to you. And so the director comes to me, pours it on my head, and he goes, I pray that you hear God's voice even more than you do now. And as soon as he says that, it's like my eardrums just popped, and I'm thinking, what just happened? So I'm like, okay, this is what happened. So we go, and for like the first week we're having trouble, and we're thinking, why are we having trouble? So we're on our trip, and we're like, why are we having trouble? Why are we getting attacked this way? And we just, the guys get with guys and girls get with girls, and we're thinking, what's going on? And when we narrow it down, we pray, and as soon as we prayed it for the guys and the girls for the girls, things started falling off, and things started to happen. So we go to our next city, and we happen to stop for gas, and our head lady that's on our team gets out and gets flowers, and we're thinking, okay, is she gonna give it to somebody, the pastor's wife? What is the purpose? And she goes, there's a purpose for this today, and we don't know why. So we're praying, and we're praying, and we're praying. I thought, okay, Lord. And I just said this, and I said, well, when people get married, the flower girl drops flowers down the aisle, correct? I said, and they said, yes. I said, then this is what we needed to do. And so we took a couple trash bags, so we went and get flowers everywhere, and laid them in the aisle, and we're thinking, okay, something big's gonna happen today, and we didn't understand it. So we pray before we go to service, and the worship team goes up and they do really well, and then the guy that's supposed to speak can't speak because the power of God hit him so hard. And we said, well, okay. So the pastor goes, so what's the plan? And I said, well, the guy goes, we're gonna sit you guys in seats around the sanctuary, and our team is gonna come with a tape recorder and is gonna prophesy over you guys this morning. That's what we're gonna do. And literally, like, we get to one person, and it was, since then I've never experienced this, and it was the most amazing thing in my life I've ever experienced. Like, some person would start, and as soon as that person would be done, it's like a continuation. The next person would continue that prophetic word, and it would just flow. And it was like, God, why did you trust us with this? But he said, because you're obedient to what you have and what we need to do this morning, so this is what we're going to release this morning. And they're like, how do you see this? How do you? Everybody's like, how did you know that about us? How did you know this about us? I'm like, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit in us that gives us the gift things and things that we don't understand and things that we don't see. Like, oh, okay. And so we get back and we have about a week before we graduate. And so it's the director's last year of directing the school. So we're like, all the guys get together and all the girls get together. And so we get a tape recorder for the girls, and we get a tape recorder for the guys. And before service starts, and we're done, we're graduated, and we're about ready to move out. So we're like, okay, we got to move out today by this time, so we have this time to do this. So we're like, okay, we got to figure this out. So we get our director, and we take him. There's like a little loft in a section of the school. So we lay him on a couch and says, you're not getting up till we're done with you. And we pray for him. We speak things that we see in him, things that we started declaring over him. And he's like, how do you know that this is what I'm going to do? And they said, this is the... I said, how do we know? We don't know nothing. You know, we don't know. We're not speaking anything that's not true about you. It's not true about what we know you're going to be. And he goes, okay. So I come home and I get a job, and I just get involved at our church because my dad's on staff, and I just get involved. And about a year after I get involved, I'm on the youth staff, and my dad's like, hey, Lou Engel's in town tonight. I'm like, okay, what's so great about Lou, you know? And I didn't understand who Lou was. And the first call's about coming up in D.C., and I'm thinking, okay. And so I'm like, Mom. She's like, what? I said, Mom, I had this dream. And I said, and I think it applies. And she says, okay. So she rewrites my dream. And Lou, if you know Lou, he's in our prayer room, and he's walking back and forth, and just, I'm thinking, oh, how do I? I'm like, Lou, I don't want to interrupt the flow right now, but I'm like, here. He's like, what is it? I said, it's a dream. I said, it's if it works what you think it works, use it. If it doesn't, throw it in the trash can. I don't care. I'm just being a vessel. And he's like, okay. So service goes well, and he speaks, and things happen, and he goes, oh, wait. He says, this young man gave me this dream, and he pronounces my dream out. I'm thinking, okay, I got it to the right person. So he comes down off the pulpit, and he goes, hey, you, come here. And I said, all right. He says, I'm going to lay here, and you're going to pray for me. And not only you, but a bunch of youth people are going to pray for me. Until I see things happen, I'm not getting up. I said, okay. So we prayed for him for like 2.5 hours straight. And we said, this is what, boom. And like, it picked up. Like, every person would say something about what he would be doing. And lo and behold, it happened. I'm thinking, okay, God, this is really, 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 really interesting. What in the world? So, you know, I've been blessed, you know, in my life to be around people who have great giftings and great things in my life. You know, I know I don't want to name names, but it's amazing. And so we move, and this still shocks me to today. Okay. We move to a new building that God prophesied over. And I thought, okay. So my dad's still on staff, and I'm like, Dad, what do you need to get done tonight? What tables need to be set? What rooms need to be open for prayer times? What needs to happen? And he tells me, and Jack Frost happens to be there that weekend, and he comes in and he goes, Aaron, and all the staff goes, how do you know Jack? I'm like, he was just happened to be, you know, at the school one time, and then we got to talk. And it's, so I'm like, okay. So I said, you know, hello. And so I just happened to sneak off, and he saw me, caught me by surprise, and he just hugged me, and he prayed for me like an hour and a half. And like 3 words in, I couldn't understand a word he said. And so, you know, I know God has a plan and destiny for me. I just have to walk it out. And I got to rely on his word and rely on the things that I see and rely on the things that I know that are true and the things that have been spoken over me. I just have to walk it out and declare it over my life. So I encourage you, if you have a word and if you have something that say you don't see it for yourself, walk it out. Speak it over yourself every morning when you get up. Like, if Satan says, nope, this is not who you are, like, no, this is who I am. Speak it over yourself. Because you're going to see, if you do that, you're going to see atmospheres change, not only in your life, but people around you.
I was really surprised at a number of the things he shared, but I thought what stood out to me was the numerous ways that Aaron shared how God showed up in loving him and blessing him. Some of the ministries that you've had personal connection with is quite an honor. And the best is yet to come, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to honor Allison tonight. She let me know that the Lord is moving her elsewhere, and so tonight is her last service with us. But I wanted to say at this occasion that she really served in some important roles for me in the last 2.5 years, serving as our worship team coordinator. And there was a lot of stuff that most of us don't see and don't realize, particularly at that time when we had a number of instrumentalists and some vocalists as well. So she would coordinate not only with the schedules and time, but also getting the songs together, getting the sheet music together. And so thank you, Allison, for that. She's also worked in the sound booth and helped a lot through that. And I'm not sure if we should let her go, because we just might need her gifts. The other thing that she's served on is the social networking with our Facebook page and the family page. So I don't know if we can have somebody that'll step up to that. Maybe in the meantime, Kathy will. But I want to thank you for the many ways you've served and the love you have for Jesus. But we would like to pray for you as you would, if you would come forward, and we can just gather around you those that are able just to come, and we want to bless her. She's indicated she has some mission activities she'd like to participate. I know she's really busy, both with her school as a teacher and then also as a student at Sarasota House of Prayer, which continues, what, through May?
Yes.
Yeah. Anything you want to share on that?
In May, I've been asked to go to Ireland and help lead worship with the Front. One of the churches we're going to is Smith Wigglesworth Church, so I may be there. We're just figuring out dates because they keep changing the dates, and it might be when it's the last week of school, which doesn't work for me. There's another mission that's in Kansas City that they've called me to come lead worship and do some pastoral stuff there, and there's a pastor in Tampa that's asked me to come. So it's God's just kind of moving me around right now, and so we're just going to see where I land.
All right, let's come and pray for her and bless her.
Thank you for Allison. And we ask that by your goodwill, you guide her, you show her the path where she's supposed to go. And Lord, it was an honor to know her, and it was an honor getting to know her. Lord, please bless her beyond belief. Let her journey be where you want her to be. Let her find her place in life. Guide her, talk to her. Encourage her. Lord, just do what you have to do in her life to make her know what she wants to do in her life. Lord, we just thank you for her. And Lord, we ask that you just continually bless her and just watch over her and give her the peace and confidence and strength and guidance that she'll need. And Lord, let her find a place by your great blessing. In Jesus' name.
Father God, I thank you for Allison's willingness and her countenance that shines for you. And I pray that others will see that and want to know you. And just thank you that when we praise you, you're always there and you're always present. And you move so powerfully. Just thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in each life, and especially in Allison's as a worship leader. And just pray that you'll lead her and direct her. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Mm-hmm.
You have in store for her. Help her to find that place that you want her to be. Let her land safely and in your arms. In Jesus' name.
God, I just thank you so much for Allison. She is one of the strongest women I know, and you have made her that way. And I pray for her future and your plan for her. I pray that when that's happening, that she just knows that you're always there with her, and that you have given her strength, and you will give her so much more strength even when she feels weak. And I thank you so much, God, for her and for the times and the time that I've gotten to know her, know who she is, how close I've been with her. She's been there for me so many times, and I love her so much. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for Allison that you would give her the strength that she needs, the wisdom, Father, to seek you and pour your wisdom within her, Lord. Thank you for your guidance and direction over her life, Lord. And we pray for her health, Father God, that she would prosper in her health from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Anything and everything that she needs, Lord, we just ask, Father, for the healing and all and everything, Father, that you will make all provisions financially for her, Lord. And we just thank you for your love for Allison, Father God, and all that she is going to do according to your will, your plan, and your purpose over her life, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Allison and for how she loves you, Jesus, and for how she's not ashamed to love you. And so we ask right now, God, that you would bless her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that you would bless her and give her the desires of her heart, Lord, because your word says that if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of our heart. And so we ask that for Allison now. We pray it in Jesus' name. And we ask as she goes forth, God, that you would go before her and be her rear guard, that you would be all around her. And Lord, that your presence would go with her wherever she goes. And so we thank you so much for her sweet spirit, Lord, and we ask your blessing upon her and your protection. In Jesus' name.
And we need to hear her voice, Father. And I believe you've given her wings, wings to carry her to where you want her to go. So I pray for that wisdom in her ears that she'll hear your voice and she'll go. But she has the voice and she has the wings, and you direct her steps now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, as we have shared these prayers and laying our hands on Allison, we commend her to your great grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have begun a mighty work in her life. I remember well her testimony of how she came to Christ and how you touched her life in seemingly impossible situations. Thank you, Lord, that you are making her blossom and bloom. In fact, as we prayed, I saw what seemed to be a picture of bleakness and some hopelessness. But you became a very strong flower that came through broken concrete, as it were, and pressed through an impossible situation to not only survive, but to thrive. And this flower continued to grow higher than the whole situation, the whole circumstance. And the stem became real high, and then the flower radiated over the circumstance, hope and life. And to me, it just speaks that the Lord has put into you a grace to be able to shine with God's presence in the midst of impossible situations. What might look to be bleak and hopeless, through your work, Holy Spirit, in Allison's life, she will radiate your hope and your divine purposes. So, Lord, I pray you would strengthen her, that you would continue to knit her together with the right people to team up with. Father, that she would continue to know family. Thank you, Lord, that she would continue to know true and meaningful and enduring relationships and friendships, and that your blessing would be abundant and would be shared with so many others. In the name of Jesus, we love her, we bless her, and we honor her tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Allison has been a faithful servant of the Lord. She would always be on time. You could always count on her, and that's kind of rare today, so I'm really grateful for that. Okay, well, time has marched on rather quickly. I know some of us would like to eat sometime tonight. I've got easily an hour here, but... And that's if I don't expand it. But I do want to begin because I do think that we need to be strengthened concerning what spiritual warfare really is. Most of you here have been a part of us a year ago when we introduced the beginnings of a clarifying vision for towards discipleship, and we introduced on some level destiny groups, and then coming into this year, we're initiating discipleship relationships, and we're all at different places on that, and we'll continue to work with that. But it seems to me that as we make a commitment to obeying Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, which, to refresh your memory, is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the word of the Lord to us and to all of his people. And as we step up with an obedience, it probably makes sense that there might be some spiritual resistance to that in our lives, possibly corporately as well as individually. But when Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," I want you to know that just before verse 19 is verse 18, where Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." Now just pause, think about that a moment. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And this was back over 2,000 years ago. Jesus spoke those words. I want to remind us, who is with us? He says, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the age." Who is with us? The same one who said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." Where does he have all authority? In heaven and in earth. I don't think we're going to be going to any other places. Heaven and earth. Jesus has all authority, and he is with us. That's point number one as we introduce spiritual warfare. Jesus is with us, and Hebrews remind us that he will never, never, ever leave us. The one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. The one who loves us like no one else does or can. That's the one who is with us. And so as we think about spiritual warfare, remember who is with us. And it's typical that anytime we take on a spiritual assignment, as we have to walk out our destiny, the scripture says, Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us that we should walk in. Who are we? We are his workmanship. The question of who am I always comes up when we take on a heavenly assignment. And we see it first in the life of Moses. God called Moses to be a deliverer and of his people, Israel, from Egypt. And what's Moses say? He says, "Who am I? And who shall I send? Who shall I say has sent me?" And if you know that story in Exodus 15, God says, "Tell them, I am that I am." In other words, I have all authority in heaven and earth. However, this was before the resurrection and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But God calls Moses to himself and says, "I am that I am." In other words, everything that you will ever need, I am for you. And you know what? That's true today. Nothing has changed. Everything that God is and ever has been or ever will be is for you. so that no matter what your heavenly assignment is, no matter what your destiny is, he will see that you get equipped with everything necessary in order to fulfill it. Now that takes something to believe. You have to believe that he is I am that I am. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he, Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. And many people have mistaken the way that Jesus lived when he was on this earth to think that, well, he did what he did because he was God. Well, he did what he did because he was God, but he did what he did because he was man. He was man who did nothing but what his Father directed him to do. So that as Jesus did what he did and said what he said it as a man, not drawing upon his divine abilities. Philippians 2 says, he laid aside every right that he had as being God and humbled himself. And so everything that Jesus did, he did potentially as any one of us could do, living and following Jesus Christ in obedience. That's also something for us to think about. What's another thing that we might think about? Well, we might get rejected. We might not be appreciated. Every one of us, especially strong in my life, I want to be liked. And sometimes I evaluate in doing whatever I do. I may not consciously say it or think it, but it's there. Is this going to jeopardize my friendships? Is this going to jeopardize my relationships? Am I going to be liked? But Jesus reminds us in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're laying a foundation for spiritual warfare. We're addressing the issues that open up the reality of spiritual warfare in our lives. Because I think so many times there's misunderstanding as to what spiritual warfare is. A disciple of Jesus Christ is not mediocre in living out his faith, his or her faith. It's not for the faint of heart. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who is discovering who he really is or who she really is. Really, one who is discovering who Jesus really is in them. Because it really comes down ultimately to unbelief. Because at the root of so much of our temptation, our spiritual warfare, is really unbelief. We just have difficulty believing that God is going to be with me through this situation. And by saying he's with me, that means that he will supply everything I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I think I can touch on something else yet. This isn't in the Bible. It's my opinion. All violence is spiritual. All violence is spiritual. Either it's godly violence or ungodly violence. It's either of God or it's of Satan. And I want us to understand something, that violence began. The first time we ever hear about violence is when God cast Lucifer out of heaven. The Bible calls it the fall of Lucifer. We call it the fall of Satan. He did not go voluntarily. That was not what he was wanting to do. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how you are fallen from heaven, referring to Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Yet you, in verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit. I believe that this was what Jesus referenced when he replied to his disciples in Luke chapter 10, verses 17, 18, where it says, the 70 returned to Jesus after having gone out. Jesus went with them by the Spirit. After they had gone out to find people of peace with the gospel, they come back and they say to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them an interesting thing. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I believe that was a reference to when Satan was cast out of heaven. And in a sense, every time we obey the Lord in his great commission to go and make disciples, we have the opportunity to confirm the fact that Satan is not in heaven. We have the opportunity to confirm that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. Satan's fall preceded man's fall. Adam and Eve fell because Satan lied to them and they believed a lie. Everything that Satan says is a lie. John 8, verse 44 says, Jesus says of Satan that he was a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from himself because he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, this is really important. We often say that our problem is sin. But as believers, sin is never the problem. Sin is the result of the problem. Our problem is that we doubt truth and we believe a lie. And that's the core issue about spiritual warfare. The nature of Satan and his strategy is to sow lies. And he may mix it with the Bible, with what is written, but it always has as its end purpose to deceive. And so knowing that the spiritual warfare is really having the discernment to recognize what is a lie and what is true is the key for our victory. When we speak of spiritual warfare, we're not just talking about temptation, but they're always joined together. We see it first in Jesus' life. In Luke chapter 4, it says that Jesus was tempted of the devil. And it was after 40 days of no water or food. In other words, he was in a weakened condition physically. And Satan, verse chapter 4 of Luke, in verse 13, says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil will come to us at the beginning of our destiny, at the end of our destiny, and anytime it's his season in between. And that's why many people are snatched from the womb, because the enemy wants, you know, just think about the men and women of God that we know today, how many more there might have been had they been able to live. And think about the reality that Satan has been able to deceive so many as to be willing to take their child in the womb and have an abortion. Now, I know there are many circumstances that women experience that make that decision very difficult. But you know that at the root, we have an adversary who wants to keep people from living because they just might discover heavenly destiny. And we know that Jesus was sought to be killed. It's a terrible story, amazing story of his deliverance. If you think about that, when Herod sought to kill the children. But even here in Luke 4, Jesus is tempted, and he's doing exactly what the Father wants him to do. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He was led into this place that was barren and forsaken. He was led into this period of time of not eating or drinking. The Holy Spirit was leading him in that whole process to show to us that by the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we can go through extreme weakness and vulnerability and overcome. That's what Jesus showed us. And thankfully, he did it because no one else could have ever have brought us salvation. No one else could have ever brought us deliverance. The devil is a fallen spirit. His power is through deception and lies, a master strategist. John chapter 12, verse 31, referring to Satan, says he's the ruler of this world. And so we have the conflict of the kingdoms. Because when Jesus was introduced on the scene at approximately 30 years of age, after John the Baptist had prepared the way for him, Jesus' first message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was introducing the kingdom of heaven, giving access to men and women through repentance and trust in him. We know at that point that there was a new kingdom that had came on the scene. We have the picture of Revelation that at the last, and I think it's Revelation 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So we know how the end wraps up. But we know the in-between time, we have the kingdom of God. You and I are born again. We're introduced through the name and the blood of Jesus Christ into his family, into his kingdom, the kingdom of light. No longer in the kingdom of darkness, we're in the kingdom of light. However, the kingdom is here, but not fully here. And so we live in the midst of a fallen world, and there are many kingdoms under the influence of Satan. And we all come under the influence. But as the called out ones in the kingdom of God, we recognize that there's going to be opposition. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be threats, because we represent another kingdom. We have as our master another king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because we are in the in-between, where the kingdom has come but not fully yet, Satan still has access to this earth. Yet we have with us the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. So in the process of entering and pursuing our destiny, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be opposition. And here's something to make note of: that spiritual warfare comes at the point of our destiny. The greater the destiny, the greater the spiritual warfare. In fact, it's been demonstrated by many statistically that those who have great gifts of healing often experience tremendous sickness and disease earlier in their lives, in which God just loves to confound the, quote, wisdom of this world. He loves to take the foolish things, those situations where people would have never thought that this person not only could get well, but would have a healing ministry. But you study the lives of some of the great healing evangelists. They were persons who had debilitating and many times sicknesses that would have been unto death had not God intervened. So the thing that we are destined for becomes the thing that the enemy most specifically attacks. And so it was in Luke 4 when Satan was tempting Jesus. He tempted in all the important areas: his significance, his sufficiency, and his security. And those are the same three temptations that every one of us struggle with. Every one of us are going to be tempted in those areas. Now, that's point one. Point two is the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and we're going to pursue that next week. And then we'll end up in seeing how a spiritual warfare actually works to manifest our destiny so that all things work together for good to them that love him and are the called destiny, are the called according to his purpose. So we have nothing to fear, and yet our most common struggle is what? Fear. Isn't that interesting? So, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Father, for each person here tonight. I thank you that every one of us has destiny in our lives. We have heavenly callings and purposes. And we thank you, Lord, tonight, even though we live in a world under the influence of Satan, that your influence in our lives is greater. Because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And Father, I thank you for that power in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? And we have a song. And I want to encourage you. I guess we did not have anybody to the side to pray for persons. But if there's anybody who would like prayer tonight concerning your destiny, or maybe you've begun and you've really got into opposition and you want encouragement to go after that, or maybe you are thinking now, wow, if I go after my destiny, I'm going to be a target for the enemy, and I'm afraid. I want to pray for you, and others may want to pray for you. But as this song goes on, which we're familiar with, I just want to encourage you, come to the front, over here to the side, and maybe me and somebody else will just come over and pray with you. But Anna, let's have that song.